Our next presentation is the ANS Trainee Award, Physiology of Vestibular Dysfunction and Aging, Dr. Yuri Agarwal.
I'd like to thank the ANS for the Trainee Award and also for the opportunity to present our work. So this talk will be on the physiology of vestibular dysfunction and aging. So none of the authors have any disclosures to make. So by way of background, I'm going to just briefly describe the vestibular system and then also give an introduction on vestibular dysfunction and aging. I'm going to provide some of the aims of our study, discuss some of our study methods and some of our results, as well as some future directions. So the vestibular system is housed in the temporal bone and consists of five peripheral end organs, which include the three semicircular canals, which collectively detect angular head movement. These include the anterior or superior semicircular canal, the posterior canal, and the lateral or horizontal semicircular canal. The vestibular system also includes two otolith organs, which collectively detect linear head movement. And these also function as gravitational sensors and are involved in postural control. These include the saccule, which detects vertical linear head movement, and the utricle, which detects horizontal linear head movement. So my interest in vestibular dysfunction and aging grew out of this epidemiologic analysis looking at balance dysfunction in a cohort, a national data set of U.S. adults. And we found that balance dysfunction based on this postural metric, the modified Romberg test, had a prevalence of about 35% in the general population, and that the prevalence of balance dysfunction increased steeply with age, such that in individuals age 80 and above, the prevalence approached 85%. So bringing these two sort of streams of evidence together, our next question was, does the aging process have global effects on the vestibular system? Or are specific structures, for example, the semicircular canals or the otolith organs, selectively impaired? So we designed a study to answer this question that was a cross-sectional and prospective cohort study. We enrolled 50 participants, age 70 and above, that we recruited from our ambulatory care center. We performed comprehensive vestibular physiologic testing on our entire cohort, which consisted of semicircular canal testing in each of the canal planes, consisting of head impulse dynamic visual acuity testing, which I'll just briefly describe. For saccular function testing, we performed cervical vestibular evoked myogenic potential, or CVEMP testing. And as a measure of utricular function, we performed ocular VEMP testing. We also followed our cohort prospectively for 1 year and collected incident falls data as a measure of the clinical impact of their vestibular dysfunction. So we performed head thrust dynamic visual acuity as a measure of semicircular canal function. So briefly to describe this procedure, a rate sensor is placed on the subject's head, and the head is passively rotated in the direction of each of the semicircular canal planes. During the head rotation, an optotype is presented on the screen, and the patient has to determine what the orientation of this optotype is. The size of the optotype is progressively decremented until the patient can no longer resolve the orientation of the optotype, and that is set to be the patient's dynamic visual acuity. We performed cervical and ocular VEMP testing as a measure of otolith function. So for cervical VEMP testing, we administered a 500 hertz tone burst stimulus and recorded electromyographic activity in the ipsilateral sternocleidomastoid muscle, and this is thought to be mediated by a saccular reflex. For OVEM testing, we delivered a tap in the midline of the forehead using a reflex hammer and measured electromyographic activity in the contralateral inferior oblique muscle, and this is thought to be mediated by a utricular reflex. So we enrolled 50 subjects, age 70 and above. Mean age was 77 years, with age range of 70 to 95. About 50% were males and females, and a preponderance were white in this population. So this is a graph that sort of aims at answering our primary aim, which is there a global deficit that occurs across the vestibular end organ, or are there selective deficits that occur? So here is a graph depicting the prevalence of vestibular abnormalities by each of the vestibular end organs, so the semicircular canals and the otolith organs. So you can see that there is a preponderance of canal deficits that we observed in our cohort of older individuals relative to otolith deficits. So 80 to 90% of our older individuals have had evidence of canal dysfunction based on head impulse dynamic visual acuity testing, We observed about 50% prevalence of saccular dysfunction based on CVEMT testing and about 20% prevalence of utricular dysfunction based on OVEMT testing. Interestingly, we found that our physiologic findings seem to parallel findings that were based on histopathologic analyses conducted by Dr. Merchant and his group. They looked at hair cell counts in temporal bone specimens throughout the age range in each of the five vestibular end organs, and they observed that the greatest magnitude and rate of decline in hair cell counts occurred in the semicircular canal neuroepithelia, followed by the saccule, then the utricle, concordant with our physiologic findings. We also looked at the prevalence of concurrent vestibular deficits within a single individual. So if a single individual has evidence of a certain kind of vestibular end organ deficit, were they then more likely to have an associated other kind of deficit? So here we plotted horizontal semicircular canal function from best to worst function as a function of CVEMP amplitude, which reflects saccular function, and OVEMP amplitude, which reflects utricular function. And we observed that with declining horizontal canal function within a single individual, the CVEMP amplitude or saccular function remained about the same, but there was a concomitant decline in utricular function. So just to quickly summarize our findings, so we observed that there is a decline that occurs in both semicircular canal and otolith function associated with age, but that there appears to be the highest prevalence in semicircular canal deficits associated with aging. We also observed an association between semicircular canal and utricular dysfunction in this cohort. Some of our other findings are going to be discussed at other sessions in this meeting and the AOS meeting. In terms of future directions of this work, we measure prospectively. We collected falls data in our cohort of 50 individuals. And so one of the ongoing projects that we've taken on is to assess the association between specific vestibular physiologic deficits and clinically significant outcomes such as falls. So we actually have observed that there are differential risks associated with saccular dysfunction, for example, relative to canal dysfunction. So these are sort of data that are in the process of being analyzed. Other future directions in terms of what are the clinical implications of these findings? Why should we care about, you know, where the physiologic deficits actually occur with aging? I think that a better understanding of the physiology of age-related vestibular deficits can help us inform the development of screening strategies, treatment strategies, and prevention strategies, potentially, of vestibular dysfunction in older individuals. So I'd like to gratefully acknowledge this society, which awarded me the Silverstein Award, which allowed me to carry out this work, and also the Johns Hopkins Older Americans Independent Center, which awarded me a pilot award. Thank you.
And in recognition of the ANS Trainee Award, I'd like to present this plaque and this check to Dr. Agrawal.
Congratulations.